Thank you for joining us for today's message. We are so encouraged to know that God is using the ocean to impact your life through the ministry of the Word. Knowing that your life is being transformed is exactly why we exist. As our vision says, we exist to know Jesus and make Him known. So sit back, relax, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your life through this message.
For those of you who've been here since the beginning of the year, you know that we've been in the sermon series called I'm In. I'm In. And so for the past 3 weeks, we've been looking at different attributes that I believe the Lord wants us to embrace, you know, about who we are as children of God. In week number one, we looked at the fact that we are invited into the family of God. That it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you're from, it doesn't matter what you did, Jesus invites you into His family. You know, and the invitation is open to everyone. It's open to each and every person. It does not discriminate nor segregate, but all it requires is for you to say yes to the invitation. And when you do, Jesus will transform your life and change you for the better. In week two, we learned that we are invaluable to the work of God, meaning that we are essential, we are vital, we are extremely useful to the work of God. That each and every one of us sitting here this morning has been given a skill, a gift, an ability, something that the Lord can use for the benefit of His body. And so we're not just people sitting here in pews today, but rather we are people who are highly gifted and skilled to do the work of God. So you are invaluable. And then last week, we learned that we are influential. That God has called us to be the salt and the light of the world. By being salt, it means that we're going to preserve the world, we're going to be a preservative, and we're going to season the world. And by being the light, it means that we're going to shine in places of darkness because we are influential. So you're influential. Now, as we conclude this sermon series, today I want to share with you this final truth that I believe it's such an important truth that we all need to embrace and we all need to know. And in a way, it's sort of like, takes everything we've learned for the past couple of weeks, and then it just ties it all together. And that truth is this, that you and I, as followers of Christ, we are invited to invest in the work of God and His church. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That the Lord invites us to invest in the work of God and in His church so as to make a difference all over the world. That God wants to use people like you and me with everything He's given us so that we can be able to make a difference in this world. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Now, we're going to see this truth through the Word of God. There is a story that I'm going to read to you this morning that actually tells this truth so well. And we're going to get a true picture of what it really means to be invested in the work of God through the story that we're going to read in the book of Exodus chapter 35. So if you could turn your Bibles with me to the book of Exodus chapter 35, because that's where we're going to be at this morning. Now, as you're making your way there, let me just start by giving you a bit of context to this story. Back in Exodus 25, we see the Lord summoning Moses and talking to Moses and telling him that, hey, Moses, I need for you to tell the people of Israel to start building me a sanctuary so that I may dwell and live among them. And then God goes on to tell Moses that, you know what, I want you to ask the people who are willing to give to do that for me. The people who are willing to give their offerings for the building of the sanctuary, go and talk to those people and ask those people to give to the building of my sanctuary. And then God goes on to tell Moses every single detail of how he's to build the sanctuary. He gives them the blueprint, how the sanctuary is supposed to look like, the different parts inside the sanctuary, what materials need to be used. So God goes into very extreme details as to what Moses needs to do in order to be able to build the sanctuary the way that God wants him to. You see, God is so specific, and God knows exactly what he wants. So he had to make sure that he laid out to Moses exactly what was needed for the building project to be a success. And so thereafter, we then see Moses going to the children of Israel and calling them together and gathering everybody and telling them that, hey, this is what the Lord has instructed me to tell you, that the Lord would like for us to build him a sanctuary so that he may dwell and live among us. And these are the materials that the Lord needs. And so then Moses goes on to list all these different things that the Lord needs, you know, gold, silver, bronze, acacia wood, anointing oil, olive oil, all these different things, you know, scarlet threads, all these different materials. He then tells them exactly what the Lord wants. And he also tells them that, hey, also the Lord wants people to volunteer to do the work of building the sanctuary. So all skilled and talented people in the community, volunteer yourselves to build this sanctuary. Now, after Moses talked to the people, then the Bible tells us that the people left. They went back to their tents, and then they came back. Now, this finds us in Exodus 35, verse 20, and this is what the word of God says. It says that after Moses had addressed them, the whole community of Israel left Moses and returned to their tents. All whose hearts were stirred and whose spirits were moved came and brought their sacred offerings to the Lord. They brought all the materials needed for the tabernacle, for the performance of its rituals, and for the sacred garments. Both men and women came, all whose hearts were willing. They brought to the Lord their offerings of gold brooches, earrings, rings from their fingers, and necklaces. They presented gold objects of every kind as a special offering to the Lord. All those who owned the following items willingly brought them: blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat hair for cloth, and tanned ram skin and fine goatskin leather. And all who had silver and bronze objects gave them as a sacred offering to the Lord. And those who had acacia wood brought it for use in the project. All the women who were skilled in sewing and spinning prepared blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine linen cloth. All the women who were willing used their skills to spin the goat hair into yarn. The leaders brought onyx stones and the special gemstones to be set in the ephod and the priest's chest piece. They also brought spices and olive oil for the light, the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense. So the people of Israel, every man and woman who was eager to help in the work of the Lord, who was eager to help in the work the Lord had given them through Moses, brought their gifts and gave them freely to the Lord. Now it continues in Exodus 36. It says, so then Moses summoned Bezalel and Oholiab and all the others who were specially gifted by the Lord and were eager to get to work. Moses gave them the materials donated by the people of Israel as sacred offerings for the completion of the sanctuary. But the people continued to bring additional gifts each morning. Finally, the craftsmen who were working on the sanctuary left their work. They went to Moses and reported, "The people have given more than enough materials to complete the job the Lord has commanded us to do." So Moses gave the command, and this message was sent throughout the camp. Men and women, don't prepare any more gifts for the sanctuary. We have enough. So the people stopped bringing their sacred offerings. Their contributions were more than enough to complete the whole project. Amen. 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 Father God, I pray that may your word minister to us this morning. Father, may the truth that comes out of your word change our lives and change our hearts this morning. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. So here we have such a wonderful picture of people who are sold out and invested in the work of God. Because we see that from the very beginning, that God did not force the special offerings from the people of Israel, but rather he appealed to people with generous hearts. Only those who were willing to give were the people who were invited to participate. So God told Moses specifically, yes, go and talk to everybody, but tell them that those who are willing to give should be the ones to give. Which means that God did not want people who would give grudgingly or half-heartedly. He wanted people who would give with all their hearts, because then it shows that they are invested in that work. And so they didn't just give the bare minimum, but the Bible tells us that they actually gave abundantly. In fact, they gave so much more than what was needed that they had to ask the people to stop giving. Now, I don't know about you, you don't hear such stories every day where people are called to give to a cause and they give so much that they have to be told to stop giving. If it's anything, usually, you know, people run short of the whatever is requested, and then you have to ask and beg people for more. But in this case, it was actually the opposite, that people just kept giving. They kept giving so much so that there was so much beyond what was needed that they had to ask the people to stop. Now, this is what I call lavish generosity, that the people were so sold out to what God was doing that they really wanted to see this project be done, so much so that they gave abundantly. Now, of course, the question that I had to ask myself is, what was it that led them to give so generously? What was it that caused them to be so willing to give this much that they even had to be stopped from giving? And then I just came to this realization that, you know what, they understood that it was important for the Lord's house to be completed so that people can be able to worship the Lord. They understood the importance of the project. They understood the importance of the mission that God was giving them, that they knew that they had to do whatever they could to be able to make this a success so that people can be able to worship the Lord. They were so invested in the work of God that they kept giving and giving and giving in accordance to what each person had. And that's what's even cool and what's interesting, that people gave according to what they had. The people who were wealthy, they would give, you know, the gold, the, you know, the bronze, the silver, all of these, you know, expensive materials, the gemstones, the onyx stones and whatnot. But the people who were able to give wood, they would give wood. Those who were able to bring olive oil, to bring olive oil. Everybody gave to this project, but they gave willingly and they gave according to what they had. And this brings us to a point, to this point, that you know what? Giving is not about the amount, but rather it's about the attitude of the heart. It's not about how much you can give, but more of how are you giving? What's the heart behind your giving? So giving, it's more about the attitude than the amount. Because we see that God specifically tells them that I want you to give willingly, that these people need to give willingly. But also, we see that people did not only give the materials, but they also gave their services. That there were skilled men and women who were able to contribute through their skills in helping to make the building of the tabernacle a success. You see, the building of the tabernacle required two essential things, the materials as well as the services. And so people were willing to come through and use their skills and their talents to make sure that the construction project was a success. You know, the people who were able to give the raw materials, they did. You know, they gave gold, silver, precious stones, animal skins, and all of the stuff. And then those skilled men and women came through. And what I love about it is that it didn't just ask the men to be the one to come and help with the job, but even the women came and helped. And so everybody was included in this project. Everybody was involved according to what they had and what they were able to do. And so I believe that the same way that the Lord wanted them to give generously, to give willingly, I believe God asks us of the same thing today. That for us as his followers, we ought to be people who would give generously and would give willingly. I believe that God is calling us today to be invested in his work because God is still on a mission this very day. And there is a specific mission that he's given us as his body of Christ. As the modern day church, we are given a mission by God. And that mission is this. It's found in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, and that is to go and make disciples of all nations, to help the people to learn of me, believe in me, and obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's our mission. Our mission today is to go and make disciples. Our mission today is to make sure that each and every person who doesn't know Christ gets to know Christ. That we give people an opportunity to get to know who Jesus Christ is. Our mission today is to spread the good news. That's the mission that we're given today. And that's what God is calling us to invest in as his followers. That we ought to invest in his work. We ought to invest in the Great Commission. That we ought to be people who are passionate about wanting other people to know who Jesus Christ is. So that they can be saved just like the way that we are saved today. So that they can get to know Jesus Christ the same way that we know Jesus Christ. Because the reason why we were able to accept the invitation is because we heard someone invite us. Had it not been for that, we would have never known. And the Bible says, you know, how will they hear if they're not told? And how will they be told unless somebody goes? And so which means that you and I have a role to play in ensuring that people get to hear the message of Jesus Christ. That is our mission. And that's what you and I ought to be invested in. Because even as this body of Christ, as the Ocean Church, that's what we stand for. As a matter of fact, towards the end of last year, we launched our new mission, which is Go. Because this is what we really believe. We believe that we are called, that each and every one of us are called to be a part of going and making disciples in whatever way we can do. Because each and every one of us has a different role to play in that mission, but we are all called to do that. And so church, if we're not invested in the work of God, then what are we invested in? If we are not invested in ensuring that people get to know who Jesus Christ is, then what are we going to be invested in? And so God requires us to invest ourselves in his work. And this may look like investing our time. It may look like investing our talents. It may look like investing our treasures. Because we all have different ways that we can contribute to the work of God. But even when we decide to invest in the work of God, if we're going to decide to give to the work of God, then we need to do so willingly. We should not give reluctantly or under pressure, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. He says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank the Lord. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Imagine God is telling us that, you know what, if you give, I will give you even more. That if you're generous, I'll be generous to you as well. I will provide all that you need so that you can continue to give other people. And when you give, those people who are going to receive those benefits, they will thank the Lord because of your giving. And that is why the Lord wants us to give willingly, that we ought to give out of the goodness of our hearts, out of love, out of understanding the importance of what we are giving to. So God gives us resources to use and to invest for him, not to hoard them and keep them to ourselves or use them for our own selfish means, but rather to propel his mission and his vision forward. And so when we invest what God has given us in his work, he will provide us with even more to give in his service. That's how faithful God is. That's how good God is. That God wants us to give. God wants us to help so that he can continue to bless us so that we can bless other people. We are blessed to be a blessing. And that's the principle that God wants us to learn. That, you know, when we're invested in the work of God, we will give according to what we have to make sure that needs are met, to make sure that things are able to function so that the gospel of Jesus Christ can be pushed forward. Because our giving can enable the church to reach to people groups who have not been reached. There are people in our community right now who don't even know who Jesus Christ is. There are people in Tanzania who don't know who Christ is. There are people in Africa, in the world, who have no clue who Jesus is. And it is our job as servants of Christ, it is our jobs as Christ followers to make sure that we do whatever we can to make sure that these people know who Jesus Christ is. Because it is God's desire that people from every tribe, every language and nation to be ransomed from death and get to have eternal life. That's the desire of the Lord. And so God is asking us today to be people who are willing to give to his mission, which is to take the message of salvation to others so that they can respond to the good news. Now, church, that is a challenge that we all ought to rise up to, that God is calling you to invest your time, to invest your talent, to invest your treasure in his work. And so even when we are called to give to the cause of God, then you know what? Let's give willingly. Because in all honesty, I feel like, you know what? If we're going to give grudgingly, then we might as well not give at all. Because it really does not benefit anyone if you're going to give grudgingly. You know, it's not even going to benefit God, because it's not as if God needs our money, but rather God wants to work through us. God wants to bless other people through us. He could easily miraculously do it by himself, but yet he chooses to want to do it through us. So let us be those generous people who are willing to invest in the work of God so that each person will get to know who Jesus Christ is. You see, the reason why the ocean is able to operate the way that it's operating is because of the faithful tithers and faithful givers who are enabling us to be able to run this church. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. And the fruits of that is found in this. Let me give you an example. For this month of January, since this year started, we've had over 20 plus people give their lives to Christ. I mean, church, can we just celebrate that? Over 20 people just this year. And this is, the month of January is not even over yet. But in this month of January, over 20 people have given their lives to Christ. Do you know why? Because we are here, because we're able to have this and we're able to do all of what we're doing, that people are able to come and get to hear the message of Christ and they get to surrender their lives to Christ. And so what we do, how we can contribute, how we invest in the work of God is important, because this just doesn't happen. You know, it takes finances, it takes resources to make Sunday morning happen. You know, and so whatever we can contribute, whatever we can give, however we can give to the work of God, it is helping to change and impact lives of people. We are having young adults of this city being reached every Friday night. The reason why we're able to run that ministry is because of the faithful givers and tithers. You know, our young men and women who don't know Christ, who don't even know how to really go about their lives, they're getting to hear the message of Christ. They're getting to know Jesus Christ. And as a result, they're getting to turn their lives around and then they get to serve the Lord. I mean, isn't that amazing? And that can only happen because we are invested in the work of God, that we are giving to this mission and these ministries. This past week, there is a man who came to church at our church office, and he's a person who used to be a prisoner at the Segerea Men's Prison. And so our prison ministry team here at the Ocean used to go to Segerea Women's Prison as well as the Men's Prison. And whenever they go there, they would distribute Bibles, and those Bibles were often actually donated by people from this church. And so this man, as a result of our prison ministry team going to Segerea Prison and giving him the Bible and getting to minister to them, it got to a point that he actually gave his life to Christ. Amen. He gave his life to Christ. And you know what? Amazing thing is, a couple of years later, you know, this man was actually released, so now he's free. And then he felt that the Lord was calling him to go and plant a church, because he saw the hope that he got in Christ while he was in prison. And so he wanted to set other people free. So sometime last year, he came to our office, you know, and he shared this testimony with us, because I didn't know him. We didn't even know who he was. But he was like, hey, I'm actually a beneficiary of your generosity, that when your team came and ministered to us, I was able to give my life to Christ. And now I'm free and I feel the Lord is calling me to plant a church. And so then he was like, I'm going to plant a church in Singida, but I need, you know, some support. And so what we did, we were able to give him some support, you know, to be able to have supplies like Bibles so that he can be able to give to the people there, as well as to buy tenzi za rohoni for the church that was going to start. And so we did that, you know, and the other day he actually came to the office because he was in Darfur just 2 days, and he stopped by and was like, you know what, I want to say thank you for your giving, because now I actually have about 80 people in my church. Imagine that, like, I was sitting there this week and I'm like, wow, I'm like, God, look at that. But it all started with the one person, you know, people who were willing to contribute the Bibles, you know, people who were willing to give. And then this person, there were people from our ministry who got to minister to this person. He got to hear the word of Christ. He got to give his life to Christ. God gave him a mission when he became free, that he was to plant a church. And now he has 80 people in his church. But it all starts with us. And so we are a part of that story, and there's so many more stories like that, I believe, that probably we don't even know. And so this is just to show you that by us being invested in the work of God, it is not in vain. We are actually making a difference. We are actually part of the Great Commission when we're able to give to the work of God. Amen. But also, besides just giving financially, God also asks us to give our talents and our time. Because God has given each and every one of us skills. As I said 2 weeks ago in, you know, in our sermon, that we are invaluable. That, you know what, God has deposited in each and every one of us gifts that are to be used for his glory. So use your skills for the glory of God. You know, some of you gave, you know, to the prison ministry, but then there were people from that ministry who went to minister to people. They used their skills and their giftings to go and minister to people. And so it's the same thing with every other area, that, you know what, God has gifted each and every one of us here, but then are we using our gifts for the glory of God? Because God can use what you have to be able to reach his people. We have people in here who are teaching. You know, they're teaching our kids. We have people who are teaching, you know, midweek classes. We have people who are preaching. We have people who are doing all these different things. And everyone is just playing their part to make sure that the mission of God is actually achieved. There are people who are helping with setting up. There are people who are helping with parking lot. There are people who are helping, you know, in refreshments, hospitality. People are just using their gifts to serve the cause of Christ. And so God is calling us today to use our gifts and skills to his work. Just like how we read in the story that there were skilled men and women, talented men and women who came to help with the construction of the tabernacle. And I believe that the Lord is going to use each and every one of us, should we be willing, in here to advance his kingdom. that God is going to use our skills and our abilities to be able to advance his kingdom. And so we need to be willing to step out. We need to be willing to be used by God because God wants to use us. Whatever he gave you, it's not just for you to keep, but it's for you to use for his glory. That is why the Lord has blessed us. And so, church, I want to challenge you this year. Invest in the work of God. Be invested. Let us not be spectators, but let us be participators. Because God is calling us to be a part of this grand story that he's crafting. That we get the privilege to be used by God so as to help other people know him. And so, church, let us be involved. Let us be invested in the work of God. Now, this is how I'd like to conclude this sermon series. I would like to end with this final thought, that let us be people who are willing to give to the cause of Christ. Let us be people who are willing to give to the mission of God, that we will not stop until each and every person in this world gets to know who Jesus Christ is. That we will play our part. We will do whatever it takes to make sure that each person who doesn't know who Jesus is gets to know who Jesus is in whatever way that we can contribute, however way we can contribute. Again, remember, it's not about the amount, but it's about the heart. It's about the availability, because God is willing to use you should you choose to be available, because we are his instruments. And so should we choose to allow him to use us, God is going to do great things through us. And so, church, let this be a year where we are actually invested in the work of God. Let it not just be another year that goes by and we come and go, but we're not doing anything. But let us be a part of God's grand story that he's cooking up. And so I pray that as this sermon series comes to a close, that you will always reflect on who you are in Christ and what God is calling you to be. That you will embrace the truth that you've learned this year and you will begin to live out that truth so that we can then begin to live our full lives and to live out our calling. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, God, for your generosity. Thank you, God, for your love, because, Lord, you were generous to us first before we were even generous to others. God, thank you for choosing us to be a part of your kingdom. And Father, thank you for commissioning us, Lord, to be co-laborers with you in the work that you're doing in this world. Father, I pray this morning that may you help us to be generous people. God, help us to not be stingy. Help us to not hoard that which you've given us. God, help us to not just store things away, you know, in a way that it prevents us from being used right now by you, Father God, to accomplish the things you're calling us to do. Father, may we be people who are willing to give generously to your cause, because, Father, we are moved by what you are doing. Lord Jesus, I pray that may you bless each and every one of us. And God, may you convict our hearts, Father. Father, may your burden be our burden. Father, let our hearts be burning for the things that are burning your hearts, Lord. Father, may you set us ablaze, God. The Father will not be comfortable, but we will be willing, God, to go out and to do the work that you're calling us to do, oh God. Lord, I pray in this year, may you help us, Lord, to be invested in your work and to be invested in the church. That, Father, we'll be willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that each person knows who you are. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Amen, amen.